Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave Solomon. Oh, it's always a pleasure to hear that voice. Whenever the show starts and I hear that voice, I immediately get comfort. Well, listen to me, especially in a week like this, because we didn't have a show on Tuesday, and that is because we wanted to make sure that we honored all of those affected by September the 11th, 2001. So that's my mission from now on. Whatever I do, I'm not going to do anything except to reflect on that day of all that transpired that day, all that it means for us in present-day America. And that's why I wanted to make sure I had a very special guest today, the only show of the week this week, and that is someone that I have come to know rather recently and through our mutual friend Yolanda Bell, who is doing something wonderful in October to raise awareness of domestic violence. But the more I got to know this particular individual as far as his music is concerned, I was completely enveloped, and I realized, oh my gosh, this artist is a torchbearer for so much that has been. He's carrying it on. He's throwing his own signature into his music, and it just makes for this beautiful kind of soprano saxophone deliciousness that is the mastery of Dee Lucas, who's on the phone with me. Hey, Dee, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Trish. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my gosh. It is such a pleasure to have you. I'm just real immersed in your music, and I really dig your spirit so much. And you know what, Dee, you know this. When an artist is able to infuse what he or she believes in their music, and that's coming from a real positive place, you can't help but be sucked into the music.
Well, I tell you, that's definitely the ultimate challenge of any artist, regardless of whether it's sculpture or painting or music. I think the biggest challenge and the biggest ultimate compliment is to have someone to gravitate to what you're trying to say. Music,
yeah.
Or in the arts in general.
And you, I was so taken. One of the elements of the interesting puzzle that is Dee Lucas is that one of your major inspirations from what I can see is somebody who had his roots in Philadelphia, who's near to my heart because that's my hometown, and that's George Howard.
Ah, that's right, George. George was my man, I tell you. George was one of those saxophonists, along with Grover Sanborn, that really had an impact on my likings to the contemporary jazz and just music in general, because they had a very unique sound.
Yeah.
And it kind of complemented who I am as a person. I'm a person that likes to go to the left. Don't always take the common road. I strive for a uniqueness, something that you have to say. And those gentlemen, particularly George, they had a voice, and they had a very unique voice without conviction. And that's what gravitated to me and his music.
And, you know, we could discuss this for a long time because there are certain styles that Grover Washington Jr. had and George Howard had. Mm-hmm. And George was so popular because he was able to infuse funk and a kind of silkiness and this urban vibe in his music. He was more focused on the groove and the melody rather than improvisation, which is why some of the, you know, elitist jazz critics, some of them didn't take him seriously until after he had passed.
Right.
What is your interpretation of the kind of jazz that you do?
It's definitely contemporary. I wouldn't just say smooth, but there are smooth elements in it. I would just say contemporary. I really like that term because
me too.
I think it focuses more on the different blends. different blends of smooth jazz. I just really think smooth jazz is more of a sub-genre of the jazz.
Exactly.
Of contemporary jazz, I should say. I think my music, there's a taste of music for world. I think there's something that not only listeners here in America that can identify with, but there are some elements in my music that people around the world globally that can identify with. And that's
like
why I
that.
Like it.
Yeah, and you know what? There are not the restrictions placed on you when you say that you're a contemporary jazz artist. That cuts a wide swath in an already big field. So you're smart to own that terminology, because once you label yourself into that subgenre, you are boxed, and you do not allow yourself to be, and I appreciate that about you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, like I mean, that's enough said. I mean, I think if you identify yourself more contemporary, it opens yourself up. And there's a lot of room for growth in that contemporary jazz. And let's face it, the genre is not going anywhere. Even though we've had some issues with the radio stations closing down for smooth jazz, but the listeners are not going anywhere. The music is not going anywhere.
That's right.
So, and it just it gives me that much more thirst to create great music in this genre. I love it.
I do too. And I love the idea that, you know, in this particular show, I really do love it. And it's so funny when I say this, and you can appreciate this, Dee, when I talk or anybody talks about straight ahead jazz, at the time, the cats that are identified as being straight ahead were alive. They sure enough didn't consider themselves to be straight ahead. They were doing creative jazz.
Right.
They were forging new roads into hard bop or bebop or whatever kind of bop you wanted to label it, or the kind of creativity that was inspired by people that they heard, maybe with a different instrument, and they wanted to embellish. But all of it combined, when you hear people who take that torch and run with it and hear folks in their head and they want to paint a picture of them and their own, when you hear that kind of new infused stuff, it makes you crazy, doesn't it? Don't you love it?
It really does. And I tell you, to go back on what you're saying back during the cats, back during the jazz era, I got to say, time really defines a lot of things after the time is spent, because you can always look back and reflect on what was done. But when you're going through it at the time, you really can't appreciate it until after time has been spent. Like Dizzy, Coltrane, Charlie Parker, those guys were experimenting at the time, and there was a mass audience that could not understand it then. They didn't appreciate it until time was spent. Oh, now they're the standard. They're the standard barrier. And it's the same thing with contemporary jazz. We can go with contemporary jazz. Everyone, like David Sanborn, Grover Washington, either you went to those school of thoughts, either you had that that David Sanborn sound or you had that Grover sound. But at the time when they were creating it, we weren't thinking like that.
Mm-hmm.
But now you look back on it, you can appreciate what those guys laid down. So, and I try not to get caught up into the straight ahead thing or whether your music is not validated. Music is music, and you got to be a part of the times. If you continue to stay, in the past, you can't grow, and
that's
you
right.
have to continue to explore. You can appreciate what you have learned in the past, and you can use it, but it's up to you as an artist to continue to grow and explore, and have your voice, and regardless of what music or what genre you're trying to present, as long as it's good and it has good validation to it.
And actually, you know, we were talking a little bit before we got on the show, but it's even more than that. If you have a gift, Dee, I feel really strongly about this, and you certainly do, you are obligated, because heaven gave you that gift, You are obligated to forge ahead and make sure people hear that music, because there's healing in that music. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been given that gift.
I agree totally, and I can tell you from experience, see, I'm self-taught.
Wow.
I self-taught myself at the age 28, very late in life. But
wow,
it was something. I know when I tell that story, the legions of folks do not believe you just started playing. I said, well, I've been there for a minute, but if you look at it from an age perspective, yes, it doesn't seem like a long time. But there was something internally within me prior to age 28 that had a gift for me. There was a gift inside of me that was waiting to come out.
Yes.
And that's the point I'm trying to say, is that, yes, I picked my very first saxophone up at 28, but the gift was always there.
Exactly. You had to be ready for that gift. You had to be ready to be able to demonstrate that gift.
Right, right. And to where I am now, and to have people that I don't know come up to me and tell me about how my music has changed their perspective in life, or their relationship, I should say, or something about themselves. I think that makes me feel great as an artist to say I have that type of that leverage in music to move people, I should say. And it's part of the humanity, so.
And you know what? It's also interesting, too. I mean, I think that God works in these fascinating ways. Sometimes we have that gift. We're not necessarily aware of it until later in life, so that we can have the maturity and wisdom to be able to ascertain the magnitude of it.
Uh-huh.
And you, I consider Yolanda Bell a very special person. She's an intuitive, and I don't think she even realizes how intuitive she is. Yolanda is the person, I knew of your name. I knew that in certain instances I was gravitated to hearing more about D. Lucas, but it wasn't until Yolanda said he's going to be part of the show in October that I have, that I really went full tilt boogie and listened to you. And, you know, she's the kind of person who is so wise. She doesn't like everything she hears. And when she said, "Oh, you gotta hear D," I went, "Oh, this is big. If Yolanda likes you, then there's a whole lot of other people's gonna like you too."
Well, I tell you, Yolanda's a very beautiful person. I'm just honored to even be a part of what she's doing in the upcoming month here, in October, I should say.
Yeah,
I mean, I take it as a great compliment. I'm just honored and blessed to have that coming from her. It says a lot. It speaks volumes.
Well, you're doing this partly out of the goodness of your heart. I know that every artist that I ever speak to, you know, it's all about the networking, and I know that there's going to be some great folks involved in this, most notably Gail Johnson, who's been on the show. And I know that Gail has spoken well of you, by the way, as well.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Like I said, it speaks volumes, because Gail is a giant in my eyes. I mean, she's very, very talented. And I've been tracking her as well. I really love her music. I love her stage presence, her delivery on stage. She's just a great artist. And
she's
definitely an artist that you will always want to be a part of and share the stage with. So I can't wait to hear.
Oh, and actually, she's the perfect kind of networking person, Dee. I think that you and she are of like minds, because you both have that entrepreneurial spirit. She is really gaining her business acumen at this point, and I think that you're that kind of person, too. I think that you see beyond the artistry and see the business surrounding the artistry, and that's something that piques your interest, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. Well, I think it's a combination of my college background. I majored in marketing, and then coming from the corporate world And it doesn't also hurt to, by starting late in life musically, that you had an opportunity to learn from the masters and also learn from their pitfalls and also their successes. So, oh, this is what I can do and this is what I can't do. So you can learn from previous artists and previous generations. So it definitely helps to have the understanding that music is 80 to 90% business and 10% art. That's a fact. And we need to understand that. It's always been like that. And it's not going to change. So it's up to artists to understand and have some control and understand, I should say, on the business side of the music industry. It's very important.
Well, thank God that there are some artists out there like you who are able to grasp both, because I know many a musician who don't have any sense at all about business, and thank goodness they have other people to handle that, because if you're excellent at one scenario, you're not necessarily excellent in the other.
right. It's a very special person and a special character to maintain both, but it can be done. But I can understand why there's the imbalance there. But to say it all, and to say the least, it's never too late to gather that balance of both sides of the wheel. But I can truly understand if you spent all your life learning the music side, then you are what you are, you know.
Yeah.
But it's also time to reach back and let's learn some more. Let's step outside the music side and let's learn the business side. And you can attain it just as easy as you did when you learn your scales every day.
That is true. And some artists don't know even the rudimentary elements of what they should be doing. Like there are artists that a few of us have kicked in the seat of their pants because they're wonderful artists, but they don't necessarily have a website that is basically their calling card these days. That's how people get to know you, you know? You're not in a situation where you're at a cocktail reception and handing out paper business cards. So you have to, online, tell people how to get to know you, where to go to see you, what you've done, who you are. And that has to be in one-stop shopping because this is an ADD society now, you know?
You're right. You're absolutely right. And, you know, to say all that, I think we as artists, we owe it to ourselves to help other artists as well, because it's enough for us, it's enough opportunity to go around, and it doesn't cost you anything to help your fellow musicians or fellow artists to share some of the knowledge that you have that can benefit them as well.
Well, listen to you. That's very gracious of you. That's not necessarily a rarity that you said that, but there are those who would prefer not to share their successes or, you know, sort of goad people on to the next level. So I appreciate that, Dave. Bless your heart.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I want to hear something, and I want our chat room to hear something as well, and the folks who are listening right now and the folks who will be listening in archive mode. So I've got four tracks here, and I wanted to save Scorpio for the end.
I knew you would.
Because that's just so sexy. And I know you are a Scorpio because your birthday is the 29th of October.
That's right.
That's 3 days after Yolanda's show. So we're going to have an early birthday party for that show too, you know.
Sounds like that. That could be a pre-birthday party, but hey, it's not about me on that event, but
I will
be thinking about my birthday though.
well, we'll have to have a post show party. That's what we're going to have.
Great.
I love that. So we have, I've got Reconcile. I've got Nothing That I Do, and I also have, what do I have here? Reconcile, Nothing That I Do, and Standing Room Only.
Standing room only. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
We want to do that?
Yeah, let's do Reconcile. Matter of fact, that song is going to be dedicated for the Domestic Violence Benefit Show on October 26th.
Wonderful, and we'll fill in the blanks about that show coming up. This is really a cool song. Tell us a little bit about Reconcile from Rebirth of the Smooth.
Okay, Reconcile, it pretty much spells out the fact, regardless of relationship or issues that you may have with someone or something, there's always room to come together, restore, make peace with conflict. We have too much conflict going on right now. Always have in the past, but it seems like it's getting worse. So I think when I was thinking about the song Reconcile, one word came to mind, and that was hope. Hope that we can repair what damage has been done in the past, because it's never too late to repair. It's about forgiving and moving on.
How perfect is it that you are the guest this week? Because this week has been so tumultuous in the world.
Yes, absolutely. The September 11th, that was very, very a sad day. But that's something that we have to understand and unfortunately to accept. But back to the reconciliation part of it, we have to move forward.
And also the deaths of four Americans this week and the first ambassador that has been murdered since 1976 from America. So this song is powerful, Dee, and I really dig this. So thank you for it. This is Dee Lucas, our guest today on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is from Rebirth of the Smooth, and it's a song called Reconcile.
Thank you.
Rebirth of the Smooth. Oh my gosh, Dee, that's got a certain kind of spiritual energy in that, you know?
Well, I tell you, I always play that song regardless of the setting that I'm performing, because it sets the tone for the rest of the evening on doing my performances. That's going to be one of the songs that I've always add in my my song list or my set list. So very proud of that song, produced by Kerry Davis right here in Atlanta. Very beautiful song.
I just I really appreciate where you're coming from as far as the orientation of your music. And I was looking when I was doing research on you. Holy chihuahua, you have worked with or opened for or did some kind with, check out the names, folks who are listening, Layla Hathaway, Hugh Masekela, The Gap Band, Michael Franks, Nancy Wilson, Roy Ayers, Tower of Power, Yellow Jackets, who are in town this weekend at Blues Alley in D.C., by the way.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. So how? I mean, you got a late start, Dee, but you sure did make up for lost time.
I appreciate it, but I tell you, once I got going, I was very determined to make sure that my music was heard, my voice was out there. Still got a long ways to go, but I'm on a good track. I feel good where I'm heading, and it doesn't hurt to share the same stage as Legends, what you just called out. Very honored to be a part of that. It's a constant growing process when I'm listening to those guys. So it just makes it puts you back in school all over again.
Well, some folks don't think that you're in school whatsoever, because apart from those names, and there are more I could name, but you got an invitation to actually do the birthday party for Ray Charles, God rest his soul, and Gladys Knight, and then you were called to do the 100 Black Men of America at their national convention. This is no small potatoes.
Yeah. Once again, it's definitely definitely something that you can always cherish for the rest of your life. Those are lifetime events that you can always talk to your grandkids about what you perform and where you perform and who you perform with. So it's an honor. I'm very humble.
And you know, you mentioned being in the corporate world and having this business background. So what was it initially, let's go back to the beginning, when you decided that you wanted to play music, who was it that first got your attention when you were a little guy?
Very interesting, because growing up in the 70s as a kid, you had all these different styles of music. So oddly enough, I wasn't a jazz head. I was more into the R&B, the big band sounds like Confunction, Earth, Wind & Fire, Parliament Funkadelic, and I
sure.
tell you, Bootsy Collins with this star-shaped guitar, he just got me. I could not fathom that right there. I mean, when I saw that, I said, yes, that's something to the left right there. That's not something you see every day. So I was a big fan of that full band sound, whether it was gospel, R&B, blues. I loved rock. I loved soft rock. I grew up on a lot of different styles, so to put a point on one particular artist or a band is really hard to say, because I even like Phil Collins, the Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so we have a rich history of music across all genres that I can definitely reach back and appreciate and really embellish on.
Oh, the 70s were I mean, I'm a 60s girl, because I'm a few years older than you, so I remember the 60s music. But those two decades were absolutely chock full of any kind of music that you wanted to wrap your head around. Woo!
Absolutely. I tell you, to make a joke out of it, I love the music, but they can keep the clothes.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God. You are not kidding. I mean, when you go back in time and see some of those pictures and some of the shoes that men wore, oh, God.
I mean, really? But it was all good. It was all good. The music really said a lot back during that time. And it really set the stage to where we are now, whether it's positive, negatively, it is where we are now. But you can always go back. Previous generations and look at the path that was made musically.
Oh yeah, and I love that. I love going back and gosh, I tell the story of a couple of years ago when WSMJ was on the air in Baltimore, and the boss wanted me to sort of make a portfolio, I guess, online of different artists, the backgrounds of those who paved the way for artists like yourself to breathe new life and to be creative. And my God, Dee, the stories of these pioneers just broke your heart. We live in a time that we need to be so grateful to be living in, because they were turning out music in times where you cannot believe people kept their sanity.
Right, right. And the way the business, the way they were treated financially or just through regular business regulations, it was really hard to wrap your finger around to even think, how did they really make it? How could they continue to pursue music, knowing the fact that what they were getting was a fraction of what they truly deserved?
Oh, God, yes. And segregation?
Yeah, not to mention that. I mean, that goes basically without saying. So, I mean, but, you know, it made them stronger. Looking back on it, it made them stronger. It defined who they are. And oddly enough, their voice was defined in the music by their experiences.
Exactly. You know, that's a real topic for conversation a lot, because it was through the anguish in their experience that some of this great music was turned out.
Absolutely. I mean, just to talk about the blues, you can't be a blues player if you don't go through it. You got to be a part of it.
Oh, man, so. You're not kidding. You are not kidding.
Listen. I mean, you've had to go through a divorce. You've had to go through some type of crisis to have something to say. And that's what makes the blues what they are. So it is what it is. And there's some of the great artists that in this world. So I love it.
Listen, I hear some of these you know, teenage white boys who live in the suburbs trying to front the fact that they know a little something about the blues. you can't write about and you can't perform what you don't know. You aren't that good of an actor.
I take the fifth.
I know.
I take the fifth on that.
I understand. And I'll never forget, because I was involved in country music for a while, and one of the people that I got to know a little bit was a gentleman who's no longer with us. He was a really wonderful man named Eddie Rabbit, whose dad was from Ireland. And Eddie came to Nashville, and he had nothing, because his dad had nothing. And Eddie was a songwriter living in a one room and, you know, did the oodles of noodles trip and tried to eke out a living and really didn't know what was going to happen the next day, let alone next week. So he got to be a really big star.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I'll tell you the truth. He said, it's a little tricky to write valid country songs now that I have money.
Because he's eating good now, so he don't have anything to talk about it. That's what he's saying, huh?
Exactly.
Right.
So I think about that a lot, and the experiences some of these jazz legends had, and the fact that they left America because they felt so not accepted in this country. And, you know, the power of the music is so amazing. When you have nothing, you want to write what is in the depths of your soul.
That's right. That's right. And I can tell you from experience, I've played with some great musicians that have made my music what it is today. And sometimes I'm off to the side watching these solos, these players play, and I'm saying to myself, that's experience. And I'm not talking musical experience. That's personal experience. and you could just hear it. And I talked to some of those guys offline, and they tell me some of the stories, and I said, okay, that just validates what I was thinking. Yeah. I mean, it's good to be able to share that, more importantly, too, among your peers and stuff, but you get an understanding on who you are and where you're placed with the people that back you. So it's powerful. Music is something else, I got to say.
Oh, my gosh, yes, because it's so personal. It's You must trip out. You've got another situation coming up. Actually, you've got a pretty important gig. We'll get to Yolanda's. But there is another gig that you have that is coming up on the 20th. Tell us about that and how cool that is for you.
Well, this show is here in Atlanta. It's my first major show here in Atlanta on September 20th. And it's going to be at Cafe 290. The show is called Rebirth of the Smooth, which is a title of my current CD, Rebirth of the Smooth.
Yes.
And basically what it is, and the reason why I did Rebirth of the Smooth, which is primarily a compilation of my previous records, almost like a greatest hits type of thing. Basically what I wanted to do is take time out and perform some of the music that I've performed over the years in a short period of time, celebrate what I've done in a short period of time, but also let the audience know where I'm heading in the future. Like the title, Rebirth of the Smooth, too often we hear a lot of negativity about smooth jazz, this and that, and that's fine. But I want to be able to present my music to give it some rebirth. I want to birth some of my music that I played. I wanted to expand it. I want to take it out to some audience that don't know who D. Lucas is. So it's a combination of celebrating what I've done thus far, but also giving the listeners a taste of what's in store for the years to come. So that's why I'm doing Rebirth of the Smooth.
And I really like that title, D, because, the terminology smooth jazz, I mean, that particular label doesn't own the word smooth, let it be known. So
right.
When you see a title like this, Rebirth of the Smooth, I went, that's thinking, Rebirth of the Smooth. Because
right. You're
not necessarily saying it's smooth jazz. Here's something else that I can do that's
right. Going
to blow your mind that's not
right. What
you thought it was going to be. So that's pretty
exactly. Cagey.
I like
exactly.
it.
I'm constantly thinking, Trish, I'm constantly thinking when everyone is asleep, I'm always coming up with something to the left. So, I may name my next album To the Left.
Well, that's because you're Scorpio, D.
We're crazy like that.
I know it.
Anyone knows the Scorpios, they know we are crazy and then some.
Hey, listen, let me tell you something. My birthday is October 16th, but I'm a Libra, but my niece did a chart on me, and it was mostly all Scorpio. And this is what she said when she handed the chart to me. She said, Aunt Trish, I got to go. Meaning, uh-oh.
Right.
Because we are just full of risk and stubbornness and sometimes a low ebbing of confidence, and then we make up for it. But there's a lot of Scorpio stuff that is really powerful, creative energy.
Right. We're some very unique people, I gotta say. Every person that I encounter that's a Scorpio, we have a lot in common. And you just called out some characteristics, risk takers. We can be quiet, but we're one of those kind of, we don't want to get stung. We don't want to get hurt. So.
Oh, right. And don't mistake your kindness for weakness.
Big time. Big time.
Right. Yeah, because, Scorpio is really aptly named because you just add an N on there and it's scorpion, and you know what scorpions do.
Right. Right.
Woo. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And while we're speaking of that event, that's on the 20th, and I want to make sure we get to Yolanda's, because this is powerful stuff. And Yolanda certainly wanted us to mention, and this is her right, because this is a domestic violence awareness benefit show in memory of Deanna Bazemore, who was Yolanda's sister, who was murdered. She was a victim of domestic violence. So the music is important, but equally as important for this show on Friday, October 26th, is the fact that there are going to be speakers who will empower both sexes to realize what the signs are to look for, so you never are a victim of this, or if you want to get out of a situation, you can get out.
Absolutely.
So this is going to be wonderful. D. Lucas is going to be part of it. Gail Johnson, our friend Art Sherrod Jr., who was just here the other day. I believe that Shang, a noted vocalist in the area, is going to be there as well, and some amazing speakers. So I imagine, D., this is going to be a packed house. So folks will either know you or come to know you for the first time. This will be awesome.
Well, I look forward to it. But more importantly, as you said previously, it's definitely about the message. We hope that the music can contribute to the message. It's definitely not about us as artists, but it's about what we do for the event itself. So I really look forward to it, and I definitely want as many people as possible to come out to support this worthy cause.
Yep, and actually it's going to be in the Baltimore area at a really nice location, and YolandaBellPhotography.com has more information. So let us turn our attention to something that I'm really curious about. You have a song called Nothing That I Do.
Let me tell you, that song came off my Something to Ride to CD, and I'm going to tell you, that is one of the most popular songs among women. And I tell you what, ironically, it's for the men. You know,
uh-huh.
So often, let me give you a quick story about it. So often, and you tell me the truth, so often we hear stories on how men are not holding up or carrying their weight. You know, women, you beat us up, right? Yes or no?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
That's true.
So we get beat up. So, but sometimes it warranted. But on the flip side, this story is about men who are carrying their weight, taking care of home, and sometimes it's still not good enough. Now, whatever case that may be, whether it's from previous relationships or what, don't know what to appreciate, but those stories are out there just as
yes.
well. And this song is basically for guys who's really carrying their weight, doing what they're supposed to do. And it's a song that you can really flip on both sides of the gender. Women have been doing it since the beginning of the time, but it's also the experience, this as well. So it can go either way. You can really walk away with this song from your own experience, but it's basically to reach back and let people know that, hey, we as guys, we care.
Let me tell you something. There is nothing that makes me sadder than seeing a good man being verbally browbeaten by a woman who does not appreciate him.
You know, say it.
It really does. And who is the singer on this, D? Because I really, really dig this song.
It's a 2-time Stella Award nominee, Terry Carroll. Very, very powerful vocalist. She lives here in Atlanta, produced by John Roberts. In fact, they have history together where they grew up in Gary, Indiana. Both of them live in the Atlanta area. John Roberts is a bassist. He produced the song. We all collaborate on the writing part of it. But John Roberts is a fantastic producer, an incredible musician, I should say. So we collaborated on the song, and very proud of this song. And to this day, I mean, it's one of the most popular songs purchased on iTunes on digital downloads. I looked at it; it's very popular.
And there's going to be more after today.
Okay.
This is Dee Lucas, and Nothing That I Do on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
only thing with that song, it's too bloody short, D. Lucas.
Too short. Everybody says it's too short.
Oh, my gosh. It's just, you know what? It's got such a deep kind of feel to it. We've got a few people in our chat room actually that have a musical background, and one of the gentlemen is Al Chestnut, who was part of the Chestnut Brothers, who have turned out some significant work as far as social activism and real deep grooving and higher consciousness. And Al said, ooh, I mean, a couple of bars in, he was like, ooh, I like this already.
Thank you, Al. I appreciate it, man.
Oh, yeah, you and Al would be thick as thieves. when we get together, here's what I'm going to do. When you come to the area on October 26th for Yolanda's show date, I'm going to make sure I share some Chestnut Brothers music with you.
Please do that. I look forward to hearing it.
Great, great. Woo, I'm so excited for you because, you know what, do you feel like you're turning a chapter in this journey that you're having?
I think, you know, I was talking to one of my marketing partners the other day. We had a sit down, and I was telling him on where I've come from and where I'm heading. And I told him that I feel like I'm right on the cusp. Not so much success, because success is defined in so many terms, in so many different ways. But I feel that I'm on the brink of doing some great things for other people through music. And I really think through all of the hard work that I put in initially, a lot of the sacrifices that I made financially, just through hard work, I feel that I see a change or a turn where I can really take my music and tap to a whole audience that I haven't, you know, reached before. And I feel that in itself is going to really do great things. Not only for me, but it's going to really thirst my hunger to do more. I have a tank of music that I'm sitting on, but timing is everything. When to release that music, I feel real good about where I am and where I'm heading, and I really look forward to presenting my music to a lot of different people that's willing to accept my music.
That's really interesting, and it's interesting that you would have these particular thoughts where you live, because I'm real curious about Atlanta. Tell me about the music scene there, Dee. What is it like according to how you perceive it?
Well, I'll tell you what. There is so many talented musicians here. Across all styles of music. Now, if we want to talk jazz, I can go just off the charts with the great musicians. I mean, this is one of the reasons on what prompted me to really pick up the horn. That was my formula. When I moved to Atlanta, before I even purchased a horn, I used to go out to the clubs, and I used to get inspired by the Melvin Millers of the world, Antonio Allens of the world, Jimmy Brown from Brick. Those guys used to play in the clubs every weekend, but there's so many of them here. And they're steady coming every day. So, positively, it's a wealth of knowledge. It's a wealth of great musicians here that you can't go without musicians. I mean, musicians are not short here. If you need a band can be put together here. They could be here. Now, on the flip side of it, unfortunately, there's so many musicians here. It's not enough outlets to support that. It's just not enough outlets. I mean, there's something going on every night of the week practically, but it's still not enough for musicians to really display their talents the way it should be. There's still a lot of room for growth here in Atlanta. I think one of the things that I would like to see differently, and this is my opinion, I would like to see a little bit more a variety of what we say contemporary jazz. And when I say that, I want to hear some fusion. I want to hear the Yellow Jackets. I want to see the audience get more engaged into that contemporary jazz. If you say you like contemporary jazz, come on out and support it then, regardless.
Right.
I mean, don't say when you come out you want to hear a certain cover tune. I'm okay with that too, but appreciate what that artist is delivering to you, because 10, 15 years from now, we're making history. So be a part of it and accept it and embrace it, because we're here for a purpose. And I just would like to I would like to see the audience be a little bit more engaged and also grow with us musically and allow us to play what we have on record as opposed to what we cover or what you hear on the radio all the time.
And even then, let me tell you something, Dee, they're not hearing it on the radio, and that's the selling point right there, because this is just a no-brainer. You know, we've got to understand that people are going to gravitate to the clubs when they hear those artists that are turning them on the radio.
Right, absolutely.
We've got to make sure that that is covered. And here's another idea, because we've got a similar, you know, challenge in Baltimore. Just happened to pop in my head when you were talking about this. Wouldn't it be interesting if there was a group of musicians who were serious musicians, like, say, contemporary jazz or different flavors of jazz, who decided to go after a particular building, like as if it were a timeshare condominium.
Right.
So that everybody would get a turn each night of the week, and it would be something that you could put a little investment in, because maybe there would be four or five of you, so it wouldn't be so steep to pay the rent. But wouldn't that be a cool idea if that caught on? Open up more venues with timeshare owners.
I think it would be awesome, because what it does, it gives the audience, it gives the artist outlet to really display what they've invested in, and that's the music. And it also gives the audience, your listeners, somewhere to go and listen to those different styles. And that is part of the learning process, is to accept what you're hearing from a positive standpoint. I think that would be awesome.
It would be. And one of the things that we've learned around here is that you don't want to disrespect the artistry of the person who's going to perform on a given night. So, you know, it's cool that some of these places like jam sessions, maybe I can see where it would be feasible to just charge somebody $5. That's cool. But for a real show, you've got to respect the artist involved. And when you say, oh, this person's only worth about $10 when you come through the door,
Right. Right. Well, and see, that's the challenge that we have. And it's just not an Atlanta issue. Like you say, it's across the board.
Yeah.
And I think we feel it a lot more because you're dealing with 6 million people here in metro Atlanta. So it's more volume here, and we see it. But I think if we just open up the thought process a little bit more and appreciate what all these talented artists here have in town to offer. Because on a given night, you can have free, a restaurant has great talent and it's free. So when you try to put on a ticketed show, well, where do you think they're going to go?
Exactly. You know what? I mean, and just like you, who wants to give advice to folks who are coming up or folks who are already established, you know, let's try to help one another. Yo, these venues need to be rethinking about how everybody can get a piece of that pie.
Right, right. And it's enough opportunities to go around. It really is.
It really is. You know, even if a venue was going to have, like, maybe free finger food for a couple of hours, but meanwhile you charge somebody, you know, $15 at the door, hey, maybe you want to kick in, like, a CD, an opportunity to win CDs or something that would be an incentive. But people have to learn that if they're going to pay for other stuff, they don't even think twice about paying about,
right.
A doctor, a lawyer, a musician. I'm just as worthy as those first two.
Well, even to piggyback off this, since that we're living more into the indie artist world now, we no longer have the major record labels that's behind us now. So a lot of things are done DIY, do it yourself, which means it's financed by yourself. So there's a lot of work that's been put in. And so, like, I financed all my records. All four of my records have been financed out of my pocket, my dime, and my time. So to ask me to give my record away, okay, do you go to Best Buy and ask for a free record?
Exactly.
So, I mean, I don't mind giving a couple, you know, a complimentary, but that's a tough pill to swallow after you have put a lot of time in and give it away on a regular basis, you know. There's
exactly
a time and place
right.
For that. Yeah, there's a time and place for that. So
that's right.
That's
and you know what? Some of these club owners, they make a killing with how much alcohol people consume. So, you know, that needs to get taken into consideration. And the
right.
publicity that you independent artists do for them, bringing
right.
new traffic into the venues, shoot, that has to all be taken into consideration.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we all have something that we can rethink. You know, even with artists, we have to rethink on how we deliver our stage presence. I mean, it's small things that we all can do to help each other. And it goes
right.
back to the reconcile.
That's
goes
right.
back to reconcile. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. And you know the meaning of the terminology customer service, Dee, because that's what it is.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah. Well, God bless you. I can't wait to meet you on the 26th. This is going to be fabulous.
I look forward to it. I really appreciate you having me on the air. It's been fun.
Oh, my God.
You've got a beautiful spirit about yourself, too.
Well, thank you so much. It's because I get really so excited about folks who want to make a difference with their music. Not the same old, but people who are so thoughtful like you, Dee, about what you're doing and why you're doing it. That makes all the difference.
Yeah, well, that's what it's all about. I think if everyone could take out the time to reach back and help one, then it's teaching one. So it's all good. I really look forward to it. And I got to tell you, Trish, is there anyone you don't know? I mean, I'm looking on Facebook. Is there anyone you don't know?
Look, if truth be told, if somebody was to say to me, Trish, you have over 900 subscribers. Dee, I have no idea how that happened.
Yeah, you must be doing something right. I mean, you're living right, as they say. You got a good spirit about yourself that makes people draw to you, so that's a good thing.
It's just God. God gets all the glory in this, honestly. And as long as we're talking about that, somebody just messaged me and said, make sure you tell people where this is going to be on Friday, October 26th. It's going to be at the Sheraton Baltimore Washington Hotel in Linthicum Heights, which is just a stone's throw from BWI, the Baltimore Washington Airport. So, Dee, this is really cool. You can walk to the venue.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. I really look forward to it. Seems like a lot of fun.
Oh, my God, yeah. And you are going to be mingling with some people who are just going to be gaga over you. I'm so excited.
Well, like I said, I look forward to meeting each and every one. And I really look forward to being a part of what Yolanda is really putting together. I really appreciate what she's doing. And if I could be a part of this every year, all to the good.
Hey, well, who's to say that's not going to happen? Because if anybody needs to be in that stable of artists, I think Yolanda really does have that in mind for you to be part of this for the long haul.
Cha-ching.
You are so funny. Well, listen, where can folks get a hold of you? Is it dlucas.com?
You can do that, and it redirects me to the official website of dlucasonline.com. You can go there. You can go to my label website, which is mobetterrecordings.net.
Oh, cool.
You can purchase the CDs there, or you can go to the famous cdbaby.com, where you get both the physical and the digital downloads, which are partnered up with all your other partners, like iTunes and all the other digital outlet. So,
that's awesome. That's awesome. And I'm going to let you set up as if I didn't know. I mean, it's self-explanatory, but the last song I'm going to play here is Scorpio, so... Hey, what was your inspiration for that, Dee?
Well, I was thinking about how crazy Scorpios can really be. And
yeah.
Crazy in a good way. I thought about some of my mannerisms, and I just chuckled. I'm not going to go into detail on the air. Some things are just warranted offline, okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. You in tune with that, so. But anyway, I was thinking about some other people that that shared the same sentiment. I said, you know what, let me just dedicate a song to all the Scorpios out there. And this is where we are with it. It's a song that's also, it's got a stepping feel, so a lot of Chicago people in that area, they step to that song.
Well, that's cool. And actually, you should know that I'm going to follow Scorpio from Rebirth of the Smooth with a George Howard song, so we're going to get a Philly groove, too.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Dee, and I appreciate your time. I really do.
It's a pleasure, and thanks for having me.
You are so welcome, and we'll see you on the 26th. Woohoo!
Okay, take care. Bye.
Expect a cake, Dee.
Take care.
You
bye.
Too. Bye-bye. Dee Lucas, everybody. Oh, my gosh, that was so much fun. I knew it would be. I knew that he was going to be just a cool spirit and feeling good vibes all over the place. And here we are, Dee Lucas on that beautiful saxophone. And this is Scorpio from his CD, Rebirth of the Smooth, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. We'll be right back.
special place, a special place. Thank you, Lord, for heavenly born, a place where peace and joy abound, where there's no room for sorrow. Man can enter in a place where time lasts forever and angels sing. Heaven's a special place, a place called home. For you say,
mercy. With the amazing John Stoddard on acoustic piano and an orchestral arrangement by Frederick Lamour, that's A Place Called Home from Tracy Hamlin and her Seasons CD. Not the most recent project, but the project right before Better Days. Oh my gosh. Tracy Hamlin just gets you where you live. If you have the opportunity to see her, and many of us in the region are going to be doing just that on September the 30th, just days away at a place called Magoobies in Timonium. Tickets are going fast. If you want to get a hold of them, please do. You will see her just raise the roof on that place. I know she's going to have an awesome band. That is A Place Called Home. She'll delve into both the Seasons CD and Better Days, and gosh knows what else she'll do. I will say this. In all probability, she will do Good Morning Heartache. Now, I know that there are some associations that some folks have with that song, most notably Billie Holiday. But Tracy takes it to a whole nother level, and it's just the octave in her voice, the intonation, the absolute passion that drives her to sing, just remarkable. So Magoobies is where you need to go, M-A-G-O-O-B-Y-S. They're online, and TracyHamlin.com is also online. And, of course, she's on Facebook, and her Facebook profile picture is the poster for that show. Also, a comedian, Stacey Carver, is going to open up, so it will be the Tracy and Stacey show, and also the Trish show, because I'll be hosting. So please, if you have a chance, if you're going to make it a day trip, I encourage you to do so. Phew, she's remarkable. George Howard, speaking of remarkable, Love Will Find a Way from Dancing in the Sun, which reached number one in 1985 on the Billboard chart. Philadelphia-born, late 70s, he got an opportunity to tour with his idol, Grover Washington Jr., and 1982 was his debut album. Combined that funk and jazz and urban soul, a focus on groove and melody. So, you know, the elitists in the jazz world kind of poo-pooed George Howard at the time, but they sure couldn't argue with his success. Born September 15th, 1956. So we'll remember his birthday in the next couple of days, and died far too soon in 1998 of lymphoma. And took us all by surprise when he did, because nobody was more full of life than George Howard. You could certainly hear that in that Lionel Richie, Greg Fillinganes song, Love Will Find a Way. Don't be surprised if you don't hear that song again in this show. Just saying. And Scorpio led the way, our three-song set. D. Lucas is the Scorpio named, so Griselda, I see, also is a Scorpio, and those of us who have the moon and the Venus and the other planets in that sign, woo, we're a little conglomeration of stuff, because Scorpios are just full of it. And Dee not only is going to be at this Yolanda Bell event on the 26th of October in Baltimore, but he's also going to be at Cafe 290, the Jazz Supper Club in Sandy Springs, Georgia, outside of Atlanta. And if you want to, please go to his Facebook or his D. Lucas online page and see a whole bunch more about D. Thank you, D, for posting on my page and Facebook, you blessed little creature, you. Let's turn our attention from a little bit contemporary and certainly gospel to another song with home in its title, shall we? I'm so happy that I'm friends again with Wallace Roney on my Trish Hennessy page. On the Hennessy Hybrid page, I already am, but this was one of the best interviews ever when Wallace Roney spent about an hour with us some months ago. This is the title track from his very recent CD, a little straight ahead for you. You're going to feel the home vibe in this as well. On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. I do love that song. Oh, my gosh, do I love that song. Sahara, comprised of Dave and Trish. And, man, I got to know Trish Long first and then Dave. And, of course, you know, because my name is Trish, you gravitate to people sometimes who have a same name, especially when it's not so common. So, as it turns out, she was this lass who was born in Dublin. And then she met Dave. And then they decided to go to Australia. And actually, they live in Mornington, Victoria, Australia. And they are Sahara with Trish on vocals and soprano and alto sax and flute and recorder and synth. And Dave on vocals, guitar, bottleneck guitar, and synth. Multi-instrumentalists, beautiful people who were on the show a few weeks ago. And that was from their CD, This Is the Place I Go, one of my favorite songs recently, The Road Less Traveled. And if you would, without going into specifics, if you would keep Dave in your prayers, Dave and Trish are going through a challenge right now, and all my prayer warriors, make sure you direct those prayers to Dave, because he needs them, and they are such lovely, giving, thoughtful, creative people that you just wish the best for them all the time, and that's what we have in mind. Sahara, Trish and Dave, The Road Less Traveled. Woo! If it means something to you, man, does it mean a lot. The lyric in that song, phew. We heard, too, from Terry Lynn Carrington and Company from The Mosaic Project, Wistful. Just love that song. And apparently, Patrice Rushen and Helen Sung are both on doing keyboard on that. I really wish that some of these artists who have these much-discussed CDs would do this. If there was a way people could go that would be very, very simple to hear about a track-by-track breakdown, maybe the background of why that track came to be, the methodology for the song, the personnel on the song, it just would be really helpful because you can go to an absolute myriad of places online and hear about a project in its totality, but not a breakdown of track by track. And sometimes that makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? Terry Lynn is going to be with her friend Esperanza, also on the Mosaic Project, at the Cobb Performing Arts Center on the 19th of October. So if you want to make sure that you're out and about to, where is that? In Atlanta? Cobb Performing? I should have written that down. Oh my gosh. If you go to Terry Lynn, and it's L-Y-N-E, Carrington.com, it is an awesome website, and here is why. Terry Lynn, besides being the drummer and composer and producer and clinician that she is also a media entrepreneur. So she delves into website creativity and how to best promote artists. When you see that website, it's mind-blowing. There's different doors you can go into, different rooms you can go into. It's cool. It's like a little girl's notion of what she wants her house to look like. It's cool. And we started off the set with Wallace Roney on trumpet and Antoine Roney on sax and Aruan Ortiz on keys and Rashan Carter on bass. That's Wallace's core group there, and that's from the brand new Home CD that was released a couple of months ago. Have a real tie to Wallace because not only is he Philadelphia-born, but spent a lot of time in Baltimore and D.C., went to the Duke Ellington School of the Arts, graduated there, and we like to keep in touch a little bit from time to time and just tell each other how much we like each other. He is just awesome, and it wasn't supposed to be that way because folks in the chat room know that there was a little bit of controversy about Wallace not being there when he was supposed to be the first time to be interviewed, but boy, did we make that up. Really, really wonderful. He and Don, his right arm, and the staff there working with Wallace, just Miles Davis would be so proud because Miles made it a point to mentor Wallace, and Wallace is just in a real peaceful place in his life right now, and hope to get him on the show again. And that's the case for our next artist that we're going to play. It's a special mix just because it's the week that we remember, September the 11th. So I was trying to go for some thoughtful songs, but songs certainly not devoid of hope. I wanted to make sure that folks had some real journey thought lines involved in this particular show since it's the only show for the week. So Eric Essex has a song from his new self-titled CD called The Distance. And here it is, one of those tunes we had in mind on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy.
Mm-hmm. proud land we grew up strong. We wanted all along. I was taught to fight, taught to win. I never thought I could fail. No fight left, or so it seems. I am a man whose dreams have all deserted. I've changed my fate, I've changed my name, but no one wants you when you lose.
Don't give up, 'cause you have friends. Don't give up, you're not beaten yet.
Let me just know.
Oh, my gosh. Look, I'll tell you the truth. I was a late comer to this particular album, Herbie Hancock's The Imagine Project. We heard the Mosaic Project before. This is the Imagine Project back in 2010. And I didn't jump on it when it first came out. I was late to understand the magnitude of what Herbie was trying to do. Oh, it just is thrilling to know that he made it a point to go to multi-locations around the globe. And he was inspired, the title track, of course, the John Lennon song, Imagine, inspired by the Congolese group called Konamo and One. And he took into account their input and the input from the Chieftains and Anushka Shankar, and came up with these amazing combinations, configurations of people working together, like Seal and India Ari, and in this particular case, refocusing on the Peter Gabriel song, Don't Give Up, with Jeff Beck on guitar, John Legend, and Pink. Now, who, I'm asking you, who would think of John Legend and Pink together to create this ambiance that is unforgettable? I think that's Pink's finest performance. I honestly do. And T, my son, more or less agrees because he's a big Pink fan, and he hasn't heard all of the Imagine Project, and we're going to do that today so he can hear all of it. Just inspiring. Herbie Hancock is a genius, not only for his artistry, but who he hears together that other people might say, Herbie, are you being a fry short of a happy meal here, son? He always gets it. And then he has Butch Trucks and Susan Tedeschi on this CD too. And somewhere on YouTube, you will find a breathless take on what they did in the studio. There's lots of information in the way of video as to how they came up with presentation on the Imagine Project. So look all this up. As who was it that said, one of the All Music or Jazz Online publications said it was a 21st century love-in. It really was, wasn't it? Oh. And then Wes Montgomery, speaking of the love, oh, Lord. God bless Michael Kiskuna, not only because of his work as a radio host back in the day on WMMR in Philadelphia, where I cut a lot of my music teeth, but also for what he has become. He is this connoisseur of finding tapes and recordings and digging deep and researching and reprioritizing and doing over chestnuts that he happens to find. In this particular case, he saw a few years ago on eBay someone named Jim Greeninger, who was going to sell some unissued material of Wes Montgomery. And Michael said, oh, no, you're not. So he got a hold of Jim, and Michael Kiskuna got tapes that were probably done in 1957, 1958, probably demos that Wes was pitching to various record companies. And Michael put what he got together, and it became Echoes of Indiana Avenue, which is where Wes spent a lot of time. And since Wes did not have much time on Earth, 45 years, he died in 1968, it was especially critical to get these pieces together. And what you heard was a live version of Misty. Here's something else about Wes Montgomery that you may not know that is just so precious, I can't even tell you. He was married to a woman that he loved with his heart and soul. And Wes was not always a musician. He worked as a machinist. And he would spend long hours working. So by the time he got home, his wife wanted to sleep. They were ships passing in the night a lot of the time. And he would practice his guitar late into the night, and he would use his thumb so that it was softer and he didn't wake his wife. Is that adorable? So that is why we've come to know Wes with his style of thumb work on that guitar. It's certainly a work of art, but he did it for reasons that were entirely thoughtful. Just amazing. Love that story. And we heard, too, Eric Essex, brand new from his self-titled CD, The Distance. Eric's new focus, a song on that particular CD, the brand new one, is getting a lot of focus on BDS radio charts, by the way. Eric is very proud of this work because he calls it new music, a new direction on a new album. And so it has come to pass. He's playing a lot of dates, and he's getting a lot of attention. He was just on the show a few weeks ago, and you know how beautiful he is. Just these spirits that we've had as guests on the show have been completely mesmerizing, haven't they been? D. Lucas, oh my God, such a sweetheart. And I wish that this next gentleman would be on the show soon. We're working. Please, we are working underneath the radar for some of these folks. And you'll see in the later part of the month and in October just what we've cooked up for you. In the meantime, here is Pat Metheny, yes, from his first solo project when he was 21 years old. So you figure what? He's now 58? And this is Pat with Jaco Pastorius. So the interplay of guitar and Jaco's bass and Bob Moses on drums, it's a thing of beauty. On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, Bright Size Life.
Thank you. Thank you. It's the only thing that there's just too little love. What the world needs now is love. But for everyone, Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb, and there are oceans and rivers enough to cross. Enough to last till the end of time.
Wish you were around to be singing that song some more. Thank God we have it on vinyl and CD. Really putting an age on myself now. God bless Luther Vandross. What the world needs now is love. Do you realize that was from his songs collection back in 1994? It's just really hit me between the eyes, because not only is that a pertinent song for this week, but the song was written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David. And Mr. Hal David just passed away on September the 1st, 9/1, and he was 91. I just happened to notice that a little while ago. And Jackie DeShannon made that song a huge hit back in the 60s. Oh, it was such a visionary song. Bert and Hal did a masterpiece with that, and Luther just tore it up, didn't he? Oh, bless his heart. We also heard John Coltrane, Did We Ever? Woo! One of his favorite albums, Blue Train, the only one on the Blue Note label, with Lee Morgan on trumpet, Curtis Fuller on trombone, Kenny Drew on piano, Paul Chambers double bass, and Philly Joe Jones on drums. 1957, Blue Train. Woo! That is a 10-minute masterpiece right there. D. Lucas and I were talking about Train and the other folks that paved the way for this great artistry for today, and I gravitate to those folks who understand that we need to be reverent as far as our founding fathers and mothers in jazz. You know what I'm saying, right? Whew. Pat Metheny sure was and is. There he was with Jaco Pastorius and Bob Moses on bass and drums, respectively. Bright Size Life, the age of 21, showed such maturity on his first solo album, it was nuts. And then 3 gold albums and 19 Grammy Awards later, here he is at the age of 58, just celebrated a birthday a few weeks ago. That was back in the 70s, that was. And, man, I'm losing my breath here because I'm thinking, okay, we did 3 songs. Yes, we did. And I want to get to a few more before the hour is through, because I sort of have to make up for the fact that we didn't have a show on Tuesday. So I want to get to this because I promised. This is my good friend Benji Parecki, who is a whiz on the Wurlitzer and a Houdini on the Hammond. Keyboard wizard for sure, with Mark Prince on drums and Brad Collins on sax. Mark Prince wrote this song from the brand new, collectively speaking, those guys are known as Firm Roots. This is Firm Roots Live and Quiet Thoroughfare on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. Woo! Some of the most anointed lyrical content I have heard in a while. When I got turned on to the Chestnut Brothers, I got turned on big time. Woo! Choose Your Destiny from Retro Soul. Al and Ty have put out some music for years, spent a lot of time in Philly. Every time I hear a song by these gentlemen, I am catapulted back to my hometown, and I just weep. T is not around, so my son doesn't see me crying, but Lord, it just takes me right back. And when they are proactive in their attempts to create world peace, when they are trying to get out their social issues that need attention, when they're trying to address violence, domestic or otherwise, or trying to effectively cause a chain reaction so that people know how to behave, nothing is like them. ChestnutBrothers.com. There you will find The Keys to Your Soul. There are other compilation, Peace Suite, and there's more. Stop the Violence. Information is on their page about that particular song and the remix, and also The People, which is their answer to the original video that they did to honor President Barack Obama and now his reelection. So all of that information is there, and if you know Al Chestnut on Facebook, all the better. Choose Your Destiny. And we heard right before East Bay Soul, What's Going On, from East Point Soul 2.0. Now, there's only about 24 hours to go before this Kickstarter.com campaign is done. If you can at all, please go there and contribute. Support Greg Adams and Daryl Walker, who you heard on vocals there, and East Bay Soul, because they really want to make music for you. They want to come to your town. So in any way, shape, or form, if you can kick in to Kickstarter.com, type in East Bay Soul, you will be led in the right direction. And thank you, because we've played a song for each show since this campaign started. We heard from Firm Roots Live at Blues Alley. Woo! What a song. Quiet Thoroughfare. Brad Collins on vocals and sax. Mark Prince on drums. Benji Parecki on organ and keyboards. This has been a labor of love for these three, collectively known as Firm Roots. Can't say enough about this CD. It's doing exceptionally well on some of the charts, even this early on. It was just released about a month ago. And our little family in the Baltimore, D.C. area, including Liz Kibble did the photography, and Todd Guggins did the graphic design, and Melvin Prince did the live mix. That's Mark's brother, so it's a family affair. Live at Blues Alley, Firm Roots Live. Woo! I wanted to end the show. I had to get to the song because it was really important, not only because Vic Frierson does his usual gig on Thursday nights at The Place on West Franklin Street in Baltimore, but because of the nature of the song and the nature of all that has transpired this week. Let us get to it before I start to weep into this particular device that I'm speaking into. This is from Throwback, Vic Frierson. On a vocal, you've heard this song probably many times in your life, but not like this. His eye is on the sparrow. Check it out.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why do the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He. his eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender words I and resting on his goodness, I lose all doubts and fears. I draw thee closer to me. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that he watches.
Bless you. We'll see you Tuesday on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.